Let me ask you something. When you want to remember something, what is it you do? For me, I tell it to Donna, and then it's her responsibility to remind me later. But I'm guessing most of you don't tell it to Donna. So when you have to remember something, what is it that you do to remember those things that are important to you? For the most part, yeah, we write it down. We write it down because once we record it, we can then refer to it later. And we can remember those things that were important to us at that moment, those things that we wanted to remember. I want to talk to you today about the importance of writing things down, the things that Jesus Christ shares with you. Because there's not a day that goes by that Jesus isn't speaking to each one of us and telling us things. And one of the things that I've learned kind of the hard way is it's important to write those things down or you will forget them. We just had a great example of the importance of writing things down. I mean, here, Jim and Susie had kept their vows written down all those 28 years so they could always have them and be reminded of them. I mean, it's a wonderful example of the power of the spoken word. The words that they spoke 28 years ago is still showing its result and still having fruit. But it's also an example of the impact of writing down the things that are important to us. And for our purposes this morning, writing down those things that Jesus Christ shares with you. Donna and I, over the years, have had a number of prophecies spoken over us, and we keep them all in written form. In fact, if you go in my office right now, you will see framed on the wall, along with my license and my ordination papers, a prophecy that was spoken over us in 1988. We keep all of those prophecies because I want to refer back to and be reminded of the things that God said and that God spoke. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing more exciting than when you see something that God spoke in 1988 and 20 years later, you see it starting to manifest or you see those things coming to pass. Write down the things that Jesus speaks to you on a daily basis. Write them down. When Jesus speaks something to you or shares something with you, write it down. Because it says that you respect and appreciate what he has shared with you. Because it's something that he shared with you personally, individually, singularly, uniquely with you. Write it down. We're a culture that's not very good. We tend to get lazy at things like that. I know for me, in my life, I have forgotten so many things. I mean, I'm embarrassed to tell you this. I have forgotten so many things that God has told me and spoken to me over 30 years of ministry. I've forgotten them because I failed to write them down. Listen, if I won't show respect, if I won't show God that I respect the things that he's already spoken to me, now he always will, but why should I expect him to impart more to me if I won't respect the things that he's already told me by writing it down to make sure that I show that I respect and I appreciate what he's spoken to me? So as we're heading towards, in the next couple of days, we're heading towards a brand new year. I encourage you in the coming year, the things that Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit speaks to you, the things that Jesus shows you, the things that are demonstrated or that he shares with you personally, write those things down. Write it down because it shows that you honor and respect the things that he's telling you and that he's speaking with you. This is a verse I want us to just kind of have as our foundation as we go through this message this morning. This is Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 2. Jeremiah 30, verse number 2. That's after you get Psalms, you get to Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Then you get to the major prophets, so it's Isaiah, and then Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 2. Thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. If you think back towards this past year, or think back in your lifetime, how many things do you know that the Lord, and I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit's very gracious. I told you a couple weeks ago that when we were like 7, 8 years ago, because Donna and I knew that we were going to start this ministry like 20 years ago. We were just waiting for God's timing. So we knew it, and about 7 years ago, as I told you a few weeks ago, God actually, as I was driving back from Florida, God actually gave me the name for this place. And I was so excited because City on a Hill Teaching Center, there's a lot of reasons that that spoke to me. I was so excited. Donna was actually sleeping in the car. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't wait for her to wake up so I could tell her, this is the name. I was so excited about it. But you know, that was not the main part of our life at that point. We each had other jobs, And after a few months, I tried to recall what it was that God had told me was the name for this place, and I could not remember it because I didn't write it down. Now, the Holy Spirit's very gracious. It took a few weeks, but I did tell him, if you show me, I promise I will write it down. If you tell me again what the name of it's supposed to be, I'll write it down. And I did. But I can't tell you the number of things in my life that Jesus has spoken to me that I failed to write down. Now, he's good. He'll remind you of those things. But if you've been in that place, I'll tell you, there's nothing worse. I'm constantly saying to Donna, I'll tell Donna something. I'll say, I'm just so excited about this because Holy Spirit showed me this. And I'll tell her that, or I'll give her a verse. But if I don't write it down, invariably within weeks, I'll say to Donna, do you remember? We were talking about this, and I mentioned that, and I mentioned this verse. Do you remember what it was? And Donna will usually look at me like, and she won't remember it right then, but given a couple of days, she will almost always remember it. And if not, the Holy Spirit brings it back. But you know what? That's not me showing my appreciation to Jesus Christ for the things that he shared personally. It's a personal thing with him speaking to us. When he shares something with you, he's sharing it to you personally. Respect that. Appreciate it. Write it down so that you always remember it and you can refer back to it. And he will speak to you. I'll tell you what, when you pull it back up later and read it again, he'll speak to you in fresh ways from that very thing that you wrote down. We all know the story from Exodus chapter 17. That's where the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites. And if you remember, Joshua was down in the valley and he's fighting the battle. And Moses is up on the hillside. And he has the rod of God in his hands. And he's holding that rod of God up high for all to see. And during the battle, as long as his hand and that rod is lifted up, the Israelites are winning. But as his hands get tired and the rod comes down, Israel's losing. So we see both Aaron and Hur, they stand on either side of Moses. And they lift up his hands and they hold his hands up high. So that rod of God is held up high. And the story tells us that the Israelites defeated the Amalekites. But now look at the command that the Lord gave to Moses as soon as that victory was complete. This is Exodus chapter 17, verses 14 and 15. Because they were faithful, because of this happening, the Amalekites were defeated. This is why you're not going to ever have, like when you were doing Christmas shopping, you didn't run into any Amalekites that were running around doing Christmas shopping. There's no Amalekites that are looking to come into our country. The Amalekites are gone because of the power of God and his faithfulness. Here's what it says in Exodus 17, 14, and 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. So that it would always be remembered. So that this story would never be forgotten and always be remembered. And here we are, thousands and thousands of years later, reciting the story. So that it would always be remembered and never be forgotten, God said to Moses, write it down and recount it. Moses did that. He wrote it down. But he also built a memorial in honor of it. And he named that memorial, the Lord is my banner. We just sang that in a song a few minutes ago. The Lord is my banner. A banner is a standard or a flag that rallies people to it, which is exactly what it did with Joshua and his army. With Joshua and his army, the standard was that rod of God. And that banner, that rod of God, that banner, that was a visual reminder to the Israelites of the power and of the faithfulness of God. When God tells you something in your life, when he speaks something to you, write it down. When you write it down, you make it a banner for you in your life and for others as well. Make it a banner. God is your banner over you. You'll notice that when Moses said that, he said, the Lord is my banner. The Lord was the banner over Israel. But Moses made it personal because it was personal to him, because it is personal with Jesus Christ with you. Moses said, the Lord is my banner. God is your banner over you. Jesus is your banner over you. He is in this life everything that he promised you that he is. He is those things, and yet the Lord still tells us. He instructs us to memorialize and to write down the things that he says to us. When you write down the things that the Lord speaks or shares with you personally, when you write those things down, you raise it up as a banner. You're showing Jesus that you appreciate and honor the word that he's given you. You raise it up as a banner. It's a banner that other people will see. And listen to this. It's a banner that other people will see, and they will be drawn to Jesus Christ because of that banner. Because you wrote it down. I know it seems like that's a huge step, but stay with me. When you write those things down, the Lord will use it. It's a banner that he sees your appreciation, and he will use it to draw others to him as well. So what are the things that you should be writing down in this coming year? What are the things that you should be documenting and writing in your book, or wherever you write these things down? Well, it can be something. If you hear something here on a Sunday morning, write it down. If there's something, sometimes when I'm listening to other people preach or share things, I'll hear them say something, and it sparks another whole thought in my mind because it's the Holy Spirit saying and revealing something to me. If you're here on a Sunday and you hear something and it speaks to you, write it down. Document it. If you're listening to somebody else preach a message, and you hear something that you know is the Holy Spirit speaking and sharing to you, write it down. If you're reading the Word of God, and in reading the verses, God gives you revelation on those verses, write it down. I can't tell you how many times. Listen, I do the prayer closet every day, Monday through Friday, and I can't tell you how many times I go in there and I go in with a plan in mind. I'm going to share these thoughts. I have the verse, and I'm going to share these thoughts. And invariably, once that microphone is on, all of a sudden I'm going in an entirely different direction, and the Holy Spirit gives me something that even as it's coming out of my mouth, I'm thinking, that is really good. It didn't come from me at all. That wasn't my plan. That's the Holy Spirit. And if I fail to write those things down, I got a whole book that I document, just those things that the Holy Spirit shows me during those times, because I don't want to lose them. I don't want to forget them. He took the time to speak them to me. I cherish that. I don't ever want to lose that. So write down the things when you're reading the Word, if you get revelation. Sometimes you read the Word of God, and it's later. Maybe for me, a lot of times it's when you're driving in the car. I'll read verses in the morning. I got a half-hour drive to get from my house to get to YesFM. And in that time, it's amazing how many times I'll just be thinking about the Word that I read, and He will show me something. I keep a notepad. Pull off the road. Don't do it while you're driving. I've tried that. I keep a notepad in both of my cars to make sure, a notepad and a fresh pen all the time, because I want to write those things down and document them when I have them. If He gives you a dream or a vision, write it down. Don has been good to remind me of this. You know, there's been some dreams that I've had recently that were powerful. Well, I've learned from dreams. If you don't write them down within just a few days, literally, the one dream that I had, I woke up, and as soon as I woke up, I was already losing it. I could tell. I was already losing it. It was already fading that fast. Write it down. Dreams, visions. Anything the Holy Spirit speaks to you, write it down. Write it down because it says, Jesus, I appreciate what you're speaking to me. It's personal. With Moses, it was personal. With Jesus, it's personal with you. It needs to be that personal with us as well. So here's the first benefit that we get from writing things down. The first benefit that we get is that it makes it plain. Look at this from Habakkuk. This is Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 2. I don't hear any pages turning. You guys just go there already? You're going to trust me, huh? All right. This is what it says, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 2. I usually wait for you guys until I hear some pages turning. Habakkuk 2, 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tablets that he may run who reads it. There's a benefit to others when they will read the things that you write down because you'll remember them. There's a benefit to others, and we're going to talk about that in a few moments. But there is clearly a benefit to you when you write down the things that the Lord has shared with you. When you write them down, you make it plain. Those words mean something to me. When you write it down, you make it plain. The easiest way for me to explain that, and I can't fully explain it. I wish I could, but I hope this makes sense to you. Easiest way for me to explain this is to say that sometimes the Holy Spirit will show me things, and even when He shows me, it's still, have you ever had this? It's still kind of hazy. It's not really clear. But there's an unveiling that takes place as a result of the action of writing it down. When you write it down, there is a clarifying effect on the things that he has spoken and shared to you. If you want to understand it better, write it down. There's something about writing it down that makes it clear in your mind. So there's a benefit there that's for you and I when we do it. This point is further expressed. Let's look at, we were in Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 2. Go down 6 verses from there to verse number 8. I'm going to read this to you in King James because there's a couple of words from the King James that I want to focus on. Because for me, sometimes the definitions of things, when you go back to the original Hebrew, the definitions are so clarifying. The definitions bring out so much more fullness in what's being said. So in Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 8 in the King James, it says, "Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever." I want you to listen to the definition of the word note. Where's note? Note. Listen to the definition. Now listen to this carefully. Picture this in your mind. This is in the Hebrew. This is the definition for the word note. It means to cut. It means to inscribe or engrave. It means to cut a tomb out of a rock. It means to write. So picture that in your mind, to cut, to inscribe or to engrave, to cut a tomb out of a rock or to write. This is saying that when you write down the things of the Lord, you are cutting those things into your very heart. When you write down the things that God, the Holy Spirit, has shared with you, you are cutting them into your heart. Now, your heart, because we live in this world, it's difficult. Your heart can become hard. Your heart can become rocky. Your heart can become lifeless like a tomb. But when you inscribe the things that the Holy Spirit speaks to you into the stoniness of your heart, you are engraving His word into your very soul with life and power. That's an awesome picture if you can get that in your mind. That's the word note. Now, go down a few more. Look at the word book. Here's the definition for the word book. Did you get that? You got the note? You got that in your minds? Does that speak to you? Okay, good. Gene wrote it down. See? Book means this. Book means a missive or a message. It is something written for a need later. Okay, you got to think about this. So this is a message that is something written for a need later. This is saying that when the Holy Spirit speaks something to you personally, and the Holy Spirit knows your life, He knows your needs, He knows what you need to have for the day, the week, the month in front of you. He's speaking words that only He knows you need to have. So when you write down those words that Jesus speaks to you, you make those words clear, and you make them indelibly marked in your heart. And they will be there later on when you need to recall them. They will be there and you will pull them up because you've written them in your very heart and soul. Write down the things when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Make sure you notate it. Write it down. Here's the second reason that we need to write down the things that the Holy Spirit shows us or shares with us in our lives. And this takes us back to the image of the banner once again. Because a banner, it is, when you write down the things of the Lord, the things that He shares with you, it's a banner. A banner is like a proclamation to others. It calls them to the Lord. When you write down the things that the Holy Spirit shows with you, He will use them to call. He will use that which you have written down. Because it becomes in your heart and in your soul. When it's in you, it'll come up later. It might not be that somebody perhaps doesn't ever read what you wrote down, but when you write it down, it is locked in your heart. It is in your soul, and it will be there later when you need it. And you're going to come across somebody's life, and all of a sudden, out of the depths of your soul, you didn't even know it was there anymore. Boom, up comes this which the Holy Spirit has already shared with you. You have words of life. You have words of strength and encouragement to share with someone else because you wrote them. You wrote them down. You inscribed them in your heart and in your soul. Let's go back and look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 2. But this time I'm going to show it to you from the Amplified Bible. And we have one more definition I want to show you. Habakkuk 2, 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, engrave it so plainly upon the tablets, that everyone who passes by will be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. The one who sees the things that you write down will read it and be influenced by it. And again, it may not be that they ever actually read what you wrote down, but you'll be surprised how many times, if you write it down, you'll be surprised how many times God will use that to show it with somebody else. In fact, that statement is more true today than it's ever been. If you write down, those who will see what you read or write will read it and be influenced by it. That's more true today because of Facebook and social media. When you write things down, it has an influence. People will read it and be influenced by it. Now, look at this word read. Here's the definition for the word read, and I love this. This shows again that this is a banner. This is a proclamation. It calls people. The definition for read here is to preach, to summon, to invite. It is to be reckoned to or called to. Even if you don't use social media or Facebook, if you are still obedient to write down the things that the Holy Spirit shares with you, it's Jesus' problem how he uses that. He will creatively find opportunities to use. If you write it down and you lock it in your heart and your soul, he will find ways to bring it up and to use it and to influence other people because you took the time, you honored him and you respected him and you wrote it down. If you take the time to write it down, he will use what you've written down to summon others to him. It's what he'll do. Make it your goal in this coming year. Make it your goal to write down the things that the Holy Spirit speaks to you or shares to you. I would even go so far as to say this. We should each one of us endeavor to have a growing list of spiritual truths that the Holy Spirit has shared with you personally. Have a growing list of those things because it's a good reminder for you, but it's also something he will use to summon others to him. The book of Proverbs is sayings to those who will be wise. You have the Holy Spirit daily giving you insights and wisdom from Jesus Christ himself for your life. You have insights and wisdom. Respect and honor that which the Holy Spirit is showing you by writing it down. You are in effect, when you write those things down, you are in effect creating your own sayings to the wise that will benefit you and benefit others. You guys look stunned. This is the importance of when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he's given you sayings for your benefit, but it's also sayings to make others wise, to impact their lives. I can't tell you the number of times, I've told you this before, I can't tell you the number of times that this is how faithful the Holy Spirit is. So many times people will come in, ever since I got saved in 1982, and by 1983, I already had people coming to me. I didn't know hardly anything, but I had people coming to me and asking me spiritual things, asking me to explain things, coming to me for counseling. And even through all these years, I can't tell you even today the number of times that somebody will come and sit in front of me and they'll share their heart and they'll have a problem and they'll be looking for me to help them, show them an answer. And as they're talking, I'm sitting there thinking, I got nothing. I got nothing to say to this person when they're done talking. They better keep talking for a while. But invariably, when they stop talking, I will start speaking. And it's just the act of starting speaking. That which is in here comes up. And the Holy Spirit speaks through me. And again, Holy Spirit says things that I know are not me. But many times it's things that I thought I'd forgotten. And the Holy Spirit brings it back up because I'd written it down. I've written it in my heart and in my soul. He's given us the opportunity to create our own sayings to the wise in all things. Now, those of you that have been here a lot, you know that I love history. So I have to take the opportunity to share you some historical examples of why this is true. John Quincy Adams was not a very good president. But he was an awesome man. If you ever just want to read a good biography, John Quincy Adams is an amazing man. Before he was president, he was ambassador to a lot of different nations. So he spent a lot of time overseas, away from his family, when his family was young and growing. John Quincy Adams determined that in his letters, he would write to his son, teaching his son the things of the Word of God. He wrote down, he put in writing the things that God had showed and revealed to him, his understanding, his knowledge. He wrote them down in letter form so that he could be a spiritual influence upon his son, even when he was across the ocean. That's the power of putting something in writing. God uses it. It's a banner that is raised for your strength and for the strength of others. Has anybody ever heard of Ulrich Zwingli? Okay. Zwingli was a great reformer. He was a reformer in the time of Martin Luther. So he was in the 1500s. Zwingli trained, he mentored the person who would become his replacement. And that man's name was Heinrich Bullinger. I'm not going to tell you the whole story because it would take too long. But here's the fascinating part about Heinrich Bullinger. Heinrich Bullinger was a man that, at the time of the Reformation, was having just all this insight, all this revelation knowledge of the things that we almost take for granted today. Well, when his son went off to college, he was worried about his son and the influences of the world. And so he determined that when his son was at college, he wrote down, he put in writing 10 rules for living. He basically took and condensed down into 10 rules the truths of Jesus Christ, the spiritual truths that he knew would be important for his son to know. And he sent them to him as his son as 10 rules for living. I'm not going to give you all of them, but I just want to give you a sense of what they were. The first one was fear God at all times. Humble yourself before God. Believe firmly that God has done all for your salvation through his Son. Study the Word diligently. Read the Bible 3 times daily. Pray above all things for a strong faith and active love. And he had 10 of these things just like this. This was a constant reminder to his son on the important things that Bullinger had been taught by Jesus Christ himself. It was a constant reminder, and it shows us the power and the importance of writing down the things that Jesus shares with you. Now think about this. What are the things that you would want your son and daughter to know? What are the spiritual truths that you've learned in life? What are the things that Jesus has shown you specifically that you would want your son and daughter to know? Or maybe there's spiritual wisdom and insight that God's given you that you want to use to impact your grandson and your granddaughter. If we don't write these things down, we lose them and forget them. And I'll tell you something else. If you write them down, you have something handy that you can invest in their lives. George Washington is like my favorite historical person. I've read more books about George Washington than anybody else except for Jesus Christ. George Washington, when he was young, in his formative years as a child, he had a book that he was given. It was called The Rules of, they always named things really hard back then. It was called The Rules of Civility and Decent Behavior in Conversation and in Company. Isn't that intriguing? Well, this is essentially, it's a book that has 110 rules for living. It's giving, it's helping a young person develop a code of ethics, a standard for living, how they live their lives, and how they live and treat other people. 110 rules. For George Washington, this was such an impactful part of his growing up. And this was a book that was written in it was written like 50 years before he was even born. It was written by an Italian in Italian. It was translated into French and then translated into English. I mean, so this is something that was passed around. You want to talk about somebody having an impact? Here's somebody that spent 50 years in 3 different countries back in the 1700s, affecting the way young people fought and the way that they were trained to act civilly with decent behavior. For George Washington, this was such an impact in his life that he read it over and over. And in fact, he wrote all of these 110 rules in his own hand. We still have that today. He wrote it because he wanted to get it locked into his mind. Now, I'm going to share some of these with you just because they're funny by R. Although some of them are true. Some of them, I wish our young people today had some of these things. Here's the first one. Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present. In other words, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in all things consider others better than yourself. Here's rule number 12 for living. Shake not thy head, feet, or legs. Roll not the eyes. Lift not one eyebrow higher than the other. Wry not the mouth. I love this. And bedew no man's face with your spittle by approaching too near to him when you speak. That's decent. Number 18. Read no letters, books, or papers in company. You know, Don and I laugh all the time. We go out to eat a lot. I'm amazed how many couples sit there and they're either reading the newspaper, not even talking to each other, or they're on texting someone else. It's like they're sitting together and not even paying attention. They should read this. Read no letters, books, or papers in company. But when there is a necessity for doing it, you must ask leave. Come not near books or writings of another as to read them or give your opinion of them unasked. Also, look not nigh upon another when they're writing a letter. 50 and 51. 50 says, do not be hasty to believe flying reports to the disparagement of any. That's good. This is a good one. Wear not your clothes foul, ripped, or dusty, but see that they be brushed once every day at least, and take heed that you approach not any uncleanliness. I'm going to give you two more. This is the two of the last three. When you speak of God or his attributes, let it be seriously and with reverence. Honor and obey your natural parents, although they be poor. And 110, this is the last one he has. Labor to keep alive in your breast that celestial fire called conscience. You can see from this that here again, when you write something down, there's power in what you write down. This influenced generations across two different continents, if not more. How important, how will God use the things that he speaks to you when you write them down? When you write them down, he'll give you opportunity. I have my own spiritual maxims. These are things that I've written down. These are things that I want to be reminded of. And they're things that Jesus has shared with me. My goal is to get enough of them put together that I can actually make a pamphlet that can be handed. Because you know what? There's a lot of young people today that they could use something like this in a modern version. Write down the things. Listen, you've got children or grandchildren. Write down the things that Jesus has spoken to you. Write them down. It makes an impact. So I have my own spiritual maxims, axioms I call them. I'm just going to give you an example of some of the things. Because you can write down long things. Just write down what the Spirit, Holy Spirit says to you. Here's just a sample of some of the spiritual axioms that I keep. Because I want to be reminded of these things. You can be God-dependent or self-dependent. If self-dependent, then don't expect God to do things in your life. You've taken control away from him. Okay? That's important for me. That's important for me to remember all the time. Sometimes they can be simple. It's one that I used for praise and worship. Praise is strength. I've got that written down. I want to be reminded of that. On and on. Sometimes it can be something that you read from a verse. Sometimes I've read a verse and I just want to put the truth of that into a simple form. I wrote this from 2 Chronicles 12:14. Evil comes from a heart that is not focused on or seeking after the things of God. When you take care of the needs, here's one of the first things God ever told me. When you take care of the needs of others first, you will find that God has in turn taken care of your needs. That's important for me to remember. Sometimes it can be something that someone else told you. This is something that the first part of this is something that I heard from my pastor's pastor, Moses Vey. And then the Holy Spirit just gave me something to add on to it. What you don't hate, you will tolerate. Hate what God hates, love what God loves. Here's something I got from just Pastor Menke. There's no winners or losers, only choosers. In life, you get what you choose. True biblical faith always produces actions. We've talked about that. Faith is not asking God to do things, it's receiving what he's already done. The Bible is supreme over all things. Stand on the word, and circumstances have to and eventually will line up with the word of God. If you don't speak what you hear him say, you will never see what he has said. And here's one more. Holiness is not action that we perform to draw closer to God. It's the result and the product of experiencing his love. See, these are things that I need, me personally, I need to be reminded of. These are things that the Holy Spirit has spoken to me over the months and over the years. And so I've written them down because I look over these things again because I want to be reminded of them. But I also want them in here so that it comes out when I speak to others as well. So what are your spiritual axioms? Because God's speaking. Jesus is speaking to each one of us. We each one of us need to develop an ongoing list of those spiritual truths that Jesus Christ is speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. Develop that list. Because when you develop it, it locks it into your heart and mind, but it's also something that God will use as a banner to draw others towards Him. How many things has God spoken to you last year, in this past year, that you've forgotten? I mean, how many things has He spoken to you that you've already lost and forgotten? As we head into this new year, don't let this next year pass by without documenting and writing down the things that Jesus Christ speaks to you personally, because it says that you respect and appreciate what He has taken the time to share with you personally and individually. Jesus is our banner. Let's always hold that banner up high for all to see. Amen? Amen? Jesus, we thank You and we praise You that Your word is always true. We thank You that You love us so much and You know each one of us so personally and individually that You speak truths to each one of us. We commit ourselves and determine to be open to hear You, and when we hear You, we will record it, write it down, because we want it to be inscribed, engraved into our hearts and souls. Because we love the fact that You love us so much, You speak to us individually. We love You and thank You. You be glorified in our lives. This coming year, let us remember those things. It's all to Your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise and worship as we close.